The sermon for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. The sermon is entitled, "This is Your Place." Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Yes, we know these words that are all too familiar to us. The question is, what does it mean to exalt oneself? On the Sabbath day of rest, at the house of the rulers of the Pharisees, there Jesus was, and lo and behold, an afflicted man with dropsy, and our present day word for that is one who is suffering with edema, was in his presence. And in this moment, the Pharisees were watching closely, because that's what they do, on how to trap Jesus in his words. For if the Lord helped this man with edema, well, they would accuse Jesus of breaking the Sabbath. And if he did not heal him, they would also accuse Jesus of being unloving, ungracious to this man. So how would Jesus proceed? Of course, to no surprise, Jesus really does Jesus things, and he asks another question. He says, "Which of you who has a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on the Sabbath day will not immediately pull him out?" And of course, silence would proceed as the Pharisees did not know what to say. For who wouldn't save someone who was falling into a pit, even on the Sabbath? Again, it's one of those moments where the Pharisees probably thought, yes, we've got him trapped, but no, we don't. Jesus, that's right. He knows how to trap us, as he is the Lord of the Sabbath. And there as Jesus was with them, as he was perceiving their hearts, he noticed how they chose their places of honor. Because it's all about your place. For the Pharisees, it was all about having their place. For in any feast, placement was very important. Placement, well, revealed their worth. As they were closer to the host, it assumed that they were the greater ones, in the greater place, with greater status, and of course, with their self-righteousness, how great it would be to be seen among all men saying, "Look at me. Look how great I am as I am on the top of the world in my great place. I am number one." And that number one, well, our pride. Yes, our pride sits so comfortably in that place. For the Pharisees, pride, self-righteousness, this was their idol, their golden calf. Because in their self-righteousness, as perceived holy ones, as if they were saying, "Yes, look at me. Look at what I've done. Look at what I've earned. And look at you lower in your place," right? These Pharisees. And Jesus saw and knew their hearts as they were choosing their places of honor. But Jesus came to turn everything upside down as he teaches them this parable, what it means to be in the lowest place. I bet we can all hear the Pharisees gasping and saying, "How preposterous. The lowest place, who, me? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I've done? Do you know how holy and how many laws I have followed to be in this? How dare you tell me to sit in that lowly place?" Precisely, that's why Jesus told them this parable. Because trusting in their own exaltation, in their self-pride, well, that would end in nothing. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. Yes, what does it mean to exalt oneself? I think for us, we too are blinded by our own pride. Pride that feeds off of our own self-reliance. Every time we trust ourselves, that's our pride. Do you know that? The question is, how are you self-reliant? Because there your pride is. For Adam and Eve, this was the devil's ploy. He very well knew the temptation of self-reliance. Rely on yourself, the devil says, not on the word of God. Because if you rely on yourself, you will be like God. The same deceptive lie he tells you to stoke your own pride. Pride that says, I need no one but the unholy triumvirate of me, myself, and I. And in so doing, we go down the path of our own fallen flesh, trusting in self rather than God. Trusting in our own words and will rather than the will and word of God. And so prideful we become that we tell God, you know what, I'll let you know when I need you. But until then, I can live my life as I please and I will do just fine. Now, do you see this in your life? How easy we tell God, no, I got this. I can do this myself by my own human strength. And that's our pride, isn't it? Do you know that? Do you discern that in that very moment as you live your walk of faith? And that's the question today for you. How is pride manifested in your life? And there we examine our hearts as we live in this world. Yeah, maybe it is your reputation to put on a face that you live by this squeaky clean, self-righteous life. Maybe it's your status in this world, even your tax bracket, the car you drive, the house you have, the career, the numbers, whatever it may be. However, you try to exalt yourself in front of man, because who doesn't want to be greater? Who doesn't want to be on the top of the world? Exalting oneself. How alluring this is for each and every one of us. But whoever exalts themselves will indeed be humbled. Look at Babel. They were humbled. Look at Pharaoh. He was humbled. Look at the Pharisees and all the religious leaders at that meeting that day. They were also humbled. Jesus knows their hearts, and he knows your heart too. Because we do clamor to find our place in this world, the place of security, the place of our own reputation in front of man, as we idolize man, don't we? That our view in front of man is way more important than our view in front of God. And that pride takes center stage. And as we make a place for ourselves in this world, as we set up shop and lay deep roots in this short-lived temporal world, it is all for naught. See, the Pharisees needed to hear this because they were the ones who exalted themselves, and we need to hear this very word. At the end of the day, yes, you can imagine it. They were in a higher place, in a higher position. Oh, what great things they had done. But little did they know that this was a mere facade. It was not a higher place. It was no righteousness at all. Because when everything is centered on our pride and self-exaltation, it is all an illusion of safety. No safety, no security, no assurance, no confidence. At the end of the day, we are left in despair. because no one is righteous, not even one, the scripture says, that even our most righteous works in front of God are like filthy rags, the scriptures say. So what does it mean to be humbled? See, the law shows us our sin. And quickly, our pride has nothing to say. The law shows us our every transgression, and our pride, well, it means nothing in our hearts. Our self-righteousness has no place, our status. Yes, we are dead in our trespasses, as Scripture says. And the mirror of the law shows us, well, that we need someone to stand in our place. And thus we repent. Because we know our true place in our flesh. We know what we deserve in this place. Because we know our sin. We know our shame and all the skeletons in that dark closet that are hanging this day. And therefore we are humbled. Because we know our true place ever since the fall. But there our Lord, there he stands in that very place, your place, to give you freely the gift of salvation. It is Jesus who came to the world to be in your place. Each and every one of you Jesus came to this world for. To be in your place, to stand in your place, to bear your sin, to take upon in your place your death. That God, he took on the status of man, lowly man. He took upon this lowly flesh only to muddy himself in our humanity. To be the suffering servant for you. The one who in your place endured the shame, the hatred, the betrayal. And through it all, Jesus did not waver. He knew his mission. And even in the state of humiliation, he continued the course perfectly, following the will of God perfectly for each and every one of you. Everything is about Jesus and what he has done for you. Because this is where God reveals how much he loves you. God to man, our Lord, adventing to us to be with us, that in his love and his sacrifice, our Lord died the most humiliating death. We talk about pride, right? Jesus made himself lowly. The world against him, scoffing. He didn't depart from that cross. No, he stood there faithfully in your place to die the death by crucifixion. And there he shed his blood to pay the price for your sins. The ransom payment was met, finished, paid off, all by the body and blood of Jesus. Yes, in his humiliation, there he would also meet his exaltation. That in his victory of the cross, there he would descend into hell and proclaim victory over the captives, and 3 days later rise from the dead. But standing in your place, there by his resurrection, he delivers you into your place which you have right now as the Lord exalts you, because he is the Lord of the Sabbath, he is your rest, and he is the Lord of the resurrection for you. The empty tomb, that is your status, shouting out to you the victory, friend, move up higher, because the Lord has delivered you your place, your forgiveness, all your sins washed away. Our Lord has reconciled you to the Father, absolving and washing you clean by the remedy of Christ and his work. That's right, move higher. Move higher, not by what you have done, but by the righteousness given to you by the sacrificial blood of Christ. This is your place. Your eternal residence is Christ, his promise that your name is written in the book of life. Your status is as a child of God. Your seat is in heaven. Your citizenship is as an heir to his kingdom. This is your place. Friend, move higher all by the grace of God. Friend, move higher all by the mercy of God. Friend, move higher because Jesus Christ is for you. Friend, move higher because your baptism saves you as you are robed in his righteousness into the newness of life, connected to the resurrection of our Lord through the power of his word. This is your place. You're not wondering where your place is. No question mark. No wonder, well, I hope I get it. I hope I've earned it. No, it's already been won. The merits of Christ for you, there your place is right now. You know, I told someone the other day that your life is forever. And forever you live right now. Do you believe that? You're not anticipating what this eternal life is all about, but you're living forever right now. This is who you are. This is your place. Because right now, you stand in victory because Jesus stood in your place. Death has lost its sting. You have victory over death. Fangs of death defanged. No. No more earning points. The points have already been won by the blood of Christ. No more hoping that you'll get there because you're already there. All by the one who humbled himself for you. The one who humbled himself and the one who not only was exalted, but who exalts you. This is your place, covered by his blood. This is your place, redeemed and forgiven. Indeed, this is your place. It is Jesus for you. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.